You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. It's Friday, and you know what that means. A new episode of The New Noise with me and Mike Howell. He'll be here in a second. But in the meantime, I wanted to remind you that the main podcast, it's been on a bit of a hiatus lately, but we're back, baby. We're full on back. We have a new episode out right now with Chris from Can't Swim. And we've got some more episodes coming with bands like Dying Wish and Dayseeker and Archspire. And it's really exciting. So make sure you are hitting that subscribe button, that follow button to get all those main episodes of Lead Singer Syndrome. But thank you for being here as well and listening to me and Mike chat about all the good new music. Let me give Mike a call. Mike.
Shane.
He's there.
Let's skip the pleasantries. You know it. I know it. Straight to the number one this week.
I like
it
this.
Is, yep.
Let's
of
not
course,
waste any time. We could do the episode in reverse.
We could.
Start with the honorable mentions?
No, we're going straight to number one. It's so important this week. We just got to talk about it. Obviously, the number one album is Dinosaur by Theory of a Dead Man.
Let's get talking about it. Wait, they're back to the Dead Man? I thought they were just Theory.
Exactly. Back to the Dead Man.
Wow.
Back to the big jams, baby.
Wow. I'm really happy this is the number one record of the week. I didn't think they could top The Bitch Came Back.
I didn't either.
I thought that was the peak, the pinnacle of not just their career, but modern rock genre, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Even the previous rock genres, it just kind of topped everything.
Yeah, I know. But here we are with their new, what's their new record called? Do you even know?
Dinosaur.
It's fucking called Dinosaur? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I have nothing more to say.
Neither do I. This is total troll, everybody.
Yeah, we're
Let's
big,
get the normal episode going. Troll, How are
yeah.
you this week, Shane?
Dude, I'm really good, man. I'm really good.
Good.
Feeling awesome. And yeah, I got my setup a little better now in my house, like mm-hmm. some of my audio stuff set up. So I don't know if anyone's going to notice, but
getting acclimated.
Yeah. You know, things are getting together slowly, but surely. Always excited to talk new music on Wednesday this week. We're doing it on Wednesday instead of Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that will affect, you know, some news or some information, but
it might. We might get some breaking stuff, you know?
We might.
Tomorrow, you never know.
You never know. But at the same time, I mean, it's still like, come on. We're like, in terms of podcasts, we're pretty with it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it's like podcasts can be recorded so far in advance that definitely things can change.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Main feed. Lead Singer Syndrome
yeah.
interviews back.
Yeah, we're back.
Cool.
I talked about it. I did a little intro. I talked about it.
Nice.
Yeah, we're back. We've got some really exciting ones coming. Kicked it off with my friend Chris from Can't Swim. I've got
Emma from Dying Wish next week.
Yes.
Which, oh, what a band. And she's terrific. Oh,
of course.
So that's a great interview. I just recorded that one yesterday. I've got one with Rory from Dayseeker coming.
Nice, nice.
Coinciding with our tour, which is great. And I also have Ollie from Archspire.
Yes.
He's going to be on the show. We're going to talk. We were supposed to talk, but he's having, I guess, a little bit of a vocal hiccup. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking on Friday, actually. And we're going to get Archspire going, which is a band that, I mean, if you're into extreme metal and you've somehow missed Archspire, you're really going to want to mm-hmm. check them out, because they're one of the best doing it right now. And, you know, looking into them, like doing a little more, like a deep dive for the interview.
Oh yeah.
That band is so next level, like so much shit that they're doing.
It's crazy.
It's awesome. Yeah. And so I'm really excited to that. And that's just 4 episodes. You know, we're going to have all kinds of stuff happening, and we got a whole team curating the podcast now. So it's not just me. I've handed off some work, which is good. And we're going to be back.
Yep.
And I think that this whole podcast feed is just going to brighten up your musical day and evening and week, hopefully, and month, maybe even year.
And, you know, I feed that team a couple band names. I'm like, hey, might want to look at this. We got some albums coming up, right?
Yep.
So.
No, and you're part of the team, Mike.
Little thing we got.
That's right. We got a really good thing going. It's really, really awesome.
But what do you want to do first? Do you want to do news, or do you want to just really switch it up this week and talk about what we did last week first? Or music last week?
Let's talk about last week's music. I've got a pretty good handle on it. Mm-hmm. I felt pretty good about the records, and I'd love to hear your take.
Me too. Starting with Judiciary, as always do, our number one.
Yep.
I currently have a contractor over fixing the front bay window in my living room because I spin kicked it out while listening to this record.
I hope that's true.
No, it's not.
I've seen somebody do that though.
In real life, like the TV and stuff. No, thanks. I don't risk that. But no, this record's absolutely awesome. It's everything I want.
Yeah, it is. It's super dirty. And just like, I don't know. I think the cool thing too is they left some of the best songs that weren't singles. Mm-hmm. Like Blood, I think it's track 2. It could be their best song they've ever done. It's awesome. And I love when an artist does that. I don't know if it's always intentional. I feel like in this case, it kind of is, because the record's called Flesh and Blood, and that's the first 2 tracks.
Yeah, so kind
I
feel of partial like they, title track.
Exactly. They like kind of, I think they left those there for people to like, the fans to really dive in and be like, oh shit, Judiciary's back. Look the fuck out. And this record is awesome all the way through. I love some of the obviously they have a sound. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the songs are in the same tuning and it's kind of a similar guitar tone throughout. And there's some formula to it, but I really love the way that they changed up some of the tempos and some of the vibe throughout the thing. I really, really like that too. And solid, solid number one record. And yeah, you were right. This is well-deserving.
Oh, for sure. I think it's just, you pretty much covered it, right? I mean, it's solid all the way through. It's hardcore, but it's kind of like the top level of it, right? Very similar to, I kind of called the shot with that like Knocked Loose EP a couple years ago now at this point. It's just very similar, kicking at the highest level of the genre. And I think that that's absolutely awesome.
Yep. No, it is. It's a great, great band. And I think, you know, they've always been, obviously they have a huge, you know, underground following and this is a cool band, you know, but I think that they're going to be kind of reaching that next level where everyone knows about them, and they're going to start, you're going to probably start seeing them on some bigger tours if they want to do that. And that's great. It's a band.
Maybe see a wrestler in a Judiciary suit. Sure,
you might. Right? Yeah, you might. 100%.
What we had at our number 2, Periphery 5. Oh. Gent is not a genre.
Oh,
I love this record. Oh, and I hate this record.
Really? What do you hate about it?
Yeah. The same kind of things that I have with Periphery kind of come back. And I feel like there is a bit of filler on this with some of like the interludes and stuff. Like, I think they're very well done. Don't get me wrong, but I think they just, they take away from the groovy parts for me.
Interesting. See, I actually have in my notes, all killer, no filler.
Really?
I thought this record was like kind of slayed the whole way through. Mm-hmm. Never bored me. And like, I really, especially like, I know I mentioned it in the singles, but I think listening through the whole record, the singing is really good. Like he really found his
yeah, I agree.
Picked his spots to really shine. And I think this is cool. I think there's one song I wrote it down. It's Silhouette, I think it's called, mm-hmm. or is it Dying Star? No, Silhouette. This song has like a little bit, you know, some electronic elements, which I really like in the middle of this record.
Yep.
Cause it's a long record. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 70 minutes. So 9 songs, 70 minute record. So, you know, there's a lot to digest, but I found that this record kind of flew by and, yeah, I'm really impressed, with this record.
Yeah. And not to say that I didn't like this record, right? I said, it's a love hate relationship.
Yeah. I know.
I love a solid, like 45, 50 minutes of this. It's true. An hour and 10 minutes.
It's hard. It's hard, you know?
Yep.
I also wrote down, I think the only problem that I have with this record, I don't like the title. this gent is not a genre thing. Like, okay, that's fine. But like, you're almost like turning this 70 minute masterpiece of a record that you spent so much time into like sort of just kind of like a dumb joke. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. I know these guys, like, obviously they have fun and whatever. Mm-hmm. The last one was called Hail Stan. So, you know, I know there's some of that going on here, but that's the only thing that really bothered me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I think the name's fine. It's kind of on the nose for a lot of things, right? Because I don't know. I think djent is a genre personally, just because it was the name for a sound and has kind of evolved into a descriptor for a certain sect of music. So like,
I agree,
is what it is. It's progressive metal at its heart, but it's a subgenre of that, right? Whatever. But
I do. I think it's a stupid name for a genre, but I think it is a genre.
I agree. But yeah, I agree. Like Dying Star, Silhouette, that like 1-2 combo, I really liked. I liked the pauses where we kind of did step away from that progressive metal. And it almost really reminded me of 2 weeks ago with that Hawken record, where we get some really poppy yep. elements in there that just really throw you for a loop. I like that. I think it's yeah. cool.
I think Hawken and Periphery would be a great tour.
For sure. For sure.
It's probably going to happen. I could see it happen.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Hawken has a tour right now and it was with somebody surprising because it was in the UK, right?
Right.
And I remember looking at it and be like, really? They're co-headlining with this band? Between the Buried and Me.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, I knew yeah. that tour was happening. No, that doesn't surprise me too much at all, but that makes sense again. Like Between the Buried and Me and Periphery. It's a
co-headliner, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Crazy.
I mean, Hawken's, you know, they're picking up some steam.
Oh, for sure. Yep. But one song I really want to point out on this record that I was really drawn to is Wax Wings.
Oh,
I
yeah, think that's dude. Me too.
By far the best song.
Me too. Record. And yeah, it's track 3. It's like right after, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's after 2 of the singles.
Yep.
I think they were singles. And then, yeah, yep. I was like, oh shit, this is like maybe the best song. It starts mm-hmm. off with a bang and yeah, it keeps going. So I agree. I really like that song too.
For sure. I really like that one. I yeah. think it was good.
Nice. Okay. What else?
Number 3, Suicide Silence. I kind of hyped up this band saying that they have kind of stepped away from deathcore a little bit and embraced death metal. And I stand by that. I think that this is a great release.
Yeah, it's cool. I do like that they've kind of done what they want, I think, on this album. It doesn't mm-hmm. sound exactly like what the other like peers in the genre are doing. Like the singles were yep. a little more like that. And then when I heard the record all the way through, I was like, no, this is kind of raw. And mm-hmm. I like that. I like some of the little interlude-y bits they had here and there as well in this record. I thought they did a really good job of tying the songs together.
Yep.
While still kind of keeping the whole thing, like, you know, pretty much an ass beater all the way through.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the record. It's, it's safe to say that Suicide Silence is probably at their best. I mean, the best that they've been in like a decade.
Yep, I agree. I think it's kind of the perfect blend. And in my notes here, I've got it's like the perfect blend between Undeath mm-hmm. and Body Snatcher.
Totally.
Where it's kind of once in a while, it's got that really catchy breakdown that gets you, but it's really just pure death metal at heart. And I think that's great.
Yeah. It sounds real. It sounds a lot more real than some of the like bands. It doesn't mm-hmm. some of the newer stuff you hear that's like just so triggered and so sampled.
Yep.
This does sound a lot more real, similar to Undeath. So I can totally understand why mm-hmm. you might make that comparison.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I like the lyrics are like kind of intense too. I don't know. I think I'm on
it's
board for
Cannibal
this.
Cannibal Corpse.
I'm on board for this. I think it's cool. And yeah. and it's like kind of bringing back some classic elements of metal that like sometimes have, you know, a little bit fallen by the wayside, I think, in recent years. So it's good. It's a good record. Really
for
good.
Sure.
Really good.
And then number four, we had the self-titled record from For the Fallen Dreams. Did you get a chance to listen to this?
You know
one?
What? This is the only one I missed. Oof. I know. Did I fuck up or what
good
happened?
Good for you.
No. Oh, honestly. Really? Oh, no. Okay.
I was kind of disappointed with this record. You know, I thought that this band was kind of diversifying a little bit with the singles. But when you kind of put the whole record as a whole, like together, it just didn't really sit with me. The single No Heaven is still my favorite song on the record. And it just kind of felt like, I think the band is growing their sound and moving into something that's a little bit more mature. But by mature, I also mean Sirius XM Octane friendly. And it's
right.
There's no song with a bite on here, in my opinion.
Well,
that reminds me of the old days. So.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, and that happens. The bands, they've
been around for a while.
They haven't been a full-time band the whole time. And I totally support if they want to go in that direction.
Oh, for sure.
And do that. And yeah, here it is. So if you want to hear something like a little more that direction, there it is for you. If you want to listen to their old stuff, that will always be there. So
oh, for sure.
So I think it's good. I will check out the record. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Maybe not, but I am curious. But I hope that they get. I hope that they are getting some radio play. I hope that they get, you know, that top 25 Octane song. That would be great for them.
Yep.
So we'll
I think
see.
So too.
We'll see what happens.
I just want everybody to make the music that they're happy making, and if you are, at the end of the day, I'm cool. So
100%.
Next one I wanted to talk about, this Manchester Orchestra EP.
Oh yeah,
it's phenomenal. It's perfect. Right.
I think, I forget the singer's name. Andy something? That might be right.
I think so.
He is the most underrated lyricist and melody writer, assuming he's writing the lyrics and melodies to these songs, that there is in music right now. He is so fucking underrated. Like these songs, like they have this way of making you think and making you cry at the same time. And that doesn't happen a lot to me, but I was immersed in this. I listened to this whole thing all the way through and I didn't, you know, have the lyrics in front of me. I just, you know, and you pick out what you can. And then I went back and I was like, I gotta listen to this again. And I just pulled up the lyrics and read them as I listened. And oh my God. Some like just phenomenal. This is just on a whole other planet, I think. Especially if you want to call this indie rock or whatever. I think it's just so head and shoulders above what other bands are doing.
I agree. So the singer, songwriter, guitarist's name is Andy Hull.
That's right.
And yeah, I agree. As from a lyricism perspective, he is right up there with Vessel and Sleep Token for me right now.
Yeah.
Just kind of those two, and obviously a few others, like there's some great lyricists in the game lately, but there's definitely a clear group, and then there is a tier below, and they're right up there in S tier for me right now.
Yeah. And this was probably written before ChatGPT came out, right? Because all the lyrics are just going to be written using that now from now on. So
we'll see.
Yeah. We're all fucked.
I mean, you kind of got to start with that. It's just Twitch chat, right?
Yeah, that helps too. Those are real minds.
You were kind of hot on these singles. I was less hot. How did you feel about the Story of the Year record?
So yeah, I like the record. I think there's a lot to digest with this record. Like once it was kind of put together, there are a couple heavier songs on it, but the record is pretty poppy.
Yep.
I think it's kind of in the middle of the record or two thirds of the way through. There's like sort of a softer song and they end with an acoustic song. You know, it's definitely a great way to kind of tell the band's story in 2023. And I like that they're doing it. I think this is the best record they put out in a while. Yeah. I mean, hey, it kind of sounds like my band. So why wouldn't I like it?
True that. Yeah, I feel... I feel kind of similar. Like there's songs on here that I like. There's songs on here that I could leave. I think my favorites were towards the back half and they weren't singles if I remember correctly, but Sorry About Me. And then the last track, Use Me, absolute bangers. Love those tracks. The rest of it just kind of misses for me. Not because it's bad, but it's just, it's very similar to a lot that I've heard before. Right.
Yeah, so, I can see that. It's
good, but nothing's grabbing me.
I don't think that they're reinventing the wheel with this record, but I do think that they're sort of kind of progressing in their own sound.
Yeah.
I think that they're discovering some things
I agree with that.
That they maybe, you know, couldn't do before or didn't know how to do before, and now they are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that kind of cohesion is sort of working for them, and they're kind of rallying around some of the traditional stuff that's always made Story of the Year great with some kind of newer elements. So I think it works. Sorry About Me is a really good one. That's a banger for sure. And yeah, that's definitely not a single. I think overall this is a strong record. Mm-hmm. And the band sounds terrific. Great production. Dan, my buddy. He's my buddy.
Your buddy.
He sounds amazing too on this thing. So yeah, it's a solid record and they should be really proud of putting this together.
For sure. And the last one that I want to talk about, because we both kind of weren't very high on these singles. We had two of them. Meet Me at the Altar's new record, Past, Present, Future. I tried listening to it again today, and I still think it's a miss. I've listened to it twice now. It just feels a little adolescent for me. And I know that the band is very young.
Yeah.
But their early work did not have that feeling to me. And maybe it's because I'm older as well now. But it just felt like it regressed from a music as a whole, right? Instrumentally, lyrically, it just fell a little more flat. Is it the Fueled by Ramen effect? Probably, but...
Yeah, I mean, I hate...
I don't know.
I hate to do that and like throw the label under the bus or blame it on the major label machine.
It's a known effect that has happened with so many bands on that label, though.
Look, I agree with basically everything you say, and I would have probably said it before you said it. Mm-hmm. I really do agree that I was really excited for this band when they came out with the first, you know, wave of their career.
Yep.
And it does seem like it's sort of now kind of fading into the TikTok universe. Mm-hmm. Not in a good way. So I don't know. I mean, that's fine. Like they took their shot and I think it's going to work in terms of popularity. Like I think this is, I think the younger crowd probably will eat this up.
For sure.
This record's not designed for me.
Exactly.
I don't think they care about my opinion. So it's fine, you know?
Yep.
But I will say that I was pretty high on this band early on. And I think that they've maybe, I don't want to say officially lost me, because I think there is like some glimmer of hope and some good elements. And I think the talent is there, but I just don't know about the songwriting choices. And if that's outside songwriters coming into the band and saying, well, we think this is what this is, or we think this is, this is what my kid says is cool on TikTok. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. All speculation. We don't know.
Yep.
But I, at the same time, I don't know. I think the talent is there. I think, the vocals are terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the production is like cool in spots. Right.
Yeah.
But sure. Overall, I do. Yeah. I think they kind of just missed for me on this one.
Yeah. And the part that you said where it's just not written for me, that's exactly something that I thought too, as I was listening to this, I'm like, you know, these are for me kind of corny, cheesy, high school musical-esque getting over the problem vocals. But I am sure there are a bunch of younger people who just need to hear this and need to be inspired by it. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
We are being a little negative, and I want to shout out like two of these songs that I think are great on this record. The second song, Try, absolute banger. That reminds me of the, like where the band kind of came from. And there's this acoustic track on the middle of the record called A Few Tomorrows that I really liked as well.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting that you mentioned Try, because that kind of grabbed me right away, because the first track is Say It to My Face, which I was like, oh, really? Like, you know, put another record on Friday and was like, oh, it's the first song too. You know, I was like, oh, maybe it'll be like the track 11 or something. It'll be like at the end of the record. It's okay. We threw this single on at the end. But then I did think that Try was a redeemer. I almost wondered if it was kind of there on purpose. Like the band almost wanted it there as a, like, I don't know. I'm speculating.
I think so, with like the little outro to the song where it's like, yeah, Meet Me at the Altar sucks. Right. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think it's meant to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah. Definitely, still a band that, you know, I do think I'm not writing them off yet. That's for sure.
No, definitely not.
Hell no. Hell no.
I have homework for you.
Oh, okay. Let me write it down.
So there's a band called MS Paint, all caps, one word.
I've heard of this. Why have I heard of this?
Probably because they're...
We talk about this before?
I think so.
You know what? I heard this. I know why. I heard this on a playlist.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called New Punk Tracks.
Yeah.
I forget. They changed the name of it now on Spotify, but I always listen to this podcast because there's always shit on there that I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. And that's where I heard this band. And I remember I was cleaning my house, listening to the podcast, to the playlist. And I literally asked Alexa what this artist was.
What song was.
Yeah. Because it was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
Cause it did throw me off.
So this is a band I'd been tracking and I just kind of missed that the album came out, but they've got their new record Post-American out. This band is, I think, one of the coolest punk bands out there right now. Taking a very fresh kind of, I don't want to say post-punk, because when I think post-punk, I really think like Turnstile and stuff like that now.
Right.
But it's almost like a blend between that and Enter Shikari, where there's kind of some like electronic elements and it's still kind of political and it's still kind of punk, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just a very good record. Immediately went on like my album of the year contenders list. I think this is phenomenal stuff.
Fuck yeah. So. Let's go. This is what it's all about, man. We're not perfect over here. Mike makes the list, but he's not perfect. He misses stuff once in a while, but we aren't going to
once in a while
count it out.
Nope.
Love it.
Speaking of not counting out, I also missed that Zulu record and I forgot to bring it up the next week.
Well, there you go.
So
another one to check out.
That record is awesome too. It reminds me, and this is going to be kind of a weird thing, but it reminds me a lot of that Kardashev record. And I know they're completely different genres, but there's a lot of really cool spoken word and ambient kind of portions, which is really, really unique for a hardcore record. And I think the record hits when it needs to emotionally through the power of the words, the lyricism, and what they're kind of saying. And then it really backs it up with just some absolute ass-beating sections.
Yeah.
Awesome record.
Yeah. Well, they're on tour with Jesus, Peace, and Scowl right now. And it fits. So yeah, it's, they're a cool band. Yeah. I love bringing like some of the power violence elements are great too. So yeah, absolutely. Zulu, check it out.
Oh yeah.
All right, dude, we are taking our time this episode. This might be a long one.
We are, you know, sometimes we got to take our time.
So we were flipping the format on its head, are we doing new music now and news at the end, or you want to get some news in first? What are you thinking?
Let's do some news first. I'm feeling it.
Okay. I like that. New news. Let's go.
We got some weird tours, right? And I think I might be one of the only listeners along with you that would be stoked on this tour. But we're getting a short run through kind of like the Midwest, East Coast, all the way to like, I think the furthest is like Sturgis.
Okay.
And this tour is playing the motorcycle rally, right? But it's Clutch, Dinosaur Jr. and Red Fang.
Totally works.
I think that's dope to
us. Totally works. Would love that. I'll admit I wasn't ever a huge Dinosaur Jr. fan. Obviously, like, you know, I knew them back in the 90s, like just like I would listen to Nirvana and Soundgarden and Dinosaur Jr. And they were always like, I don't know, they weren't my favorite band, but kind of over the years, they've grown on me. But I love Red Fang. That'd be my favorite band probably of the three.
Oh, for sure.
But Clutch, obviously, has done amazing things.
Classic.
And of course, they're playing the motorcycle rally. That makes so much sense.
I know, right?
That rules.
Next up, some kind of, it's a weird tour. It's kind of built around Furnace Fest, but you've got dates in Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Furnace Fest, two dates in Ohio, a date in Illinois, and two dates in Michigan for Casey playing some really small venues here in the States.
Cool.
I'm going to try and get tickets to the Detroit show in October. Very stoked on this.
Awesome. Yeah.
Back from the Dead. I'm really excited about this tour. I don't know who the opening band is. It's Hammerhead, but instead of H-E-A-D, it's H-E-D-D. But then you've got I Am, Toxic Holocaust, and Havoc.
Shit, yeah.
And they're playing small rooms. Like, they're playing The Shelter at St. Andrews.
Love it.
So that'll be wild.
I love it. When you said Back from the Dead, always made me think of, like, if there was some kind of time travel or something like that happened, mm-hmm. and Johann Sebastian Bach was able to perform now.
Yeah.
And he came out with the Bach from the Dead tour.
That'd be pretty sick.
It'd be sick, right?
Would be.
Can you imagine just one of those dudes rolling in? Yep. Yep. Yeah, I know it's been 400 years. Let's fucking go. I don't know.
I've been drinking
this afternoon, Mike. Don't worry.
We also got a tour announcement from Machine Head.
Oh yeah.
I don't know any openers yet, but
they don't do a lot of openers. That's like been their thing.
Nope.
I don't know if it's like they always do a no opener thing, but I know that in the past they've done that where they're just like, you know what? We are playing to our fans. Mm-hmm. You like our band? Come out and hang, and we're going to play for like 2.5 hours.
And yeah,
so I mean, come, you know,
they
so
got
come.
The chops.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that that's like kind of a cool approach because, you know, some people, like, you don't really want to sit through like three bands that you don't know. I mean, I do, you do, mm-hmm. but not everybody yep. does. Like, sometimes you just want to see the headliner and you want to see them play the maximum amount. So I can totally respect that, that thought process.
For sure. And we go from no support to strange support.
Oh yeah. Even better.
Atreyu headlining tour.
Okay.
Point North.
Okay.
Makes some decent sense. I like this.
Yeah.
Within Destruction.
Oh, all right.
and then Lilac. I don't know who Lilac is, but just seeing Point North and Within Destruction logos next to each other on a tour poster has brought me so much joy today.
It is quite interesting. I don't know. I think Point North's one of those bands that, like, their sounds just changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone like back and forth. Like, it's gone from kind of like a punk thing to like a super poppy thing, kind of yep. like to a almost like
metalcore at points.
Yeah, a little bit like that. So they're kind of a band that, like, they fit everywhere and nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I love them still. I think they write great songs. So
for sure.
Hey, yeah.
And we got some festival announcements. We got Louder Than Life. We got Aftershock. We got more Blue Ridge bands. And you know, there's some great things on here, and I'm sure people are trying to put together what some possible tours could be. Like Don Broco is going to be in the States on a lot of these things. Sleep mm-hmm, Token mm-hmm. on a bunch of festivals. I don't know what's going on. Baby Metal is going to be in the States. Polyphia is running around. Bad Omens obviously got their tour with Era and Invent Anime, and they're hitting some festivals in between that.
Yep.
I see Dragged Under on a lot of these festivals. Mm-hmm. You've got the headliners coming around this year with like Guns N' Roses, Korn, Tool, Avenged Sevenfold, Pantera, Weezer, Godsmack, like all the normal stuff, right? But one thing on all three of these festivals that has really caught my eye and has me interested, and I'm sure will have you interested as well, Death Clock.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know where it's going to be. If they get announced on Riot Fest 2, then I'll be going to Riot Fest this year. But I'm going to see Death Clock this year. I don't care where. I will figure it out because that's like a grail band that you really don't get opportunities to see. It's always, at least ahead of time, it's always kind of a last minute thing, like, oh, we're playing an awards show or like
right.
pop-up show, right?
Yeah.
So
I heard a little birdie told me that Metalocalypse may be coming back.
I've heard that as well for the final movie.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true or what happened. I know there was like
huge falling.
It wasn't, it wasn't pretty whatever happened with Brandon Small and Adult Swim or whatever, but yeah, Death Clock is sick. I've never seen it. Would love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you, man, but that is exciting. I think all the bands you mentioned, you know, I think these days a lot of times festival exclusivity and stuff kind of does matter.
Yep.
To a lot of festivals. So sometimes you'll have bands that'll come in and literally just do like a few festivals and fly back because, you know, fees are pretty high and flights are pretty cheap.
Yep.
So you might see tours, you might not. So don't get disappointed if certain bands are not playing a whole bunch of dates, but that just makes more people go to the festivals, right? And that's what they want.
Yep. For sure. It's just that time of year, right? Like you've got a bunch right around June. You've got a bunch right around October, September. It's just how it happens.
Yep. Exactly.
But yeah, tons of good bands on these. Obviously everybody can go check out these lists themselves. Also Icy Stars got announced for Blue Ridge. So I'm very excited about that because they've been dead for 2 years. I know you don't care, but
okay.
You ready to get into the new records this week?
Yeah, finally. Damn.
We've been kind of
so far in. I mean, but yeah. Hey, I blame Theory of a Dead Man for all of this. Problem.
I just blame Theory of a Dead Man for all of my problems.
It's an easy scapegoat.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're gonna go. How many we got?
Six.
All right, top six. Let's jump in.
So starting us off, a little bit weird one, kind of a passion group for me. The new record Fantasy by M83. They released the entire A side of the record as kind of like an EP, one go. I love M83. I think these guys are talented songwriters and it's just a very different vibe compared to a lot of their electronic music, right?
Vibe City, man. It's Vibe City.
It's dreamy.
It is. I mean, their Spotify bio says blending synth pop and shoegaze into lush music. I mean, that pretty much hits the nail on the head. So yeah, to try to like compare them to, I don't know, any kind of dance or EDM or whatever, it really sells them short because
the closest is Passion Pit.
They do so much more. Yeah. That's fair. Passion Pit, I always think of like more of in kind of like the indie space, but this is like cinematic, especially this first half of this record that they've released, which, I urge people to check it out. This is great. I mean, this is something you can put on and like kind of jam out to, or kind of just put on and relax.
Do homework.
You can kind of do both. You can kind of do anything to it. It's really great.
For sure.
Vibe City.
Gonna be awesome. Number five, speaking of For the Fallen Dreams, currently on tour with this band, we've got the new record, More Power, More Pain by Tuscaloosa's own Gideon.
Alabama.
This band writes ass beaters.
Yeah.
And I toss them on my workout playlist and go see them live whenever I can.
Yeah. I feel like if you put them on your workout playlist, you're just going to lift more weight somehow. Like
I can confirm
that this might be what the More Power, More Pain is all about. Weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. I've always liked this band. Always felt like something was holding them back. I don't like know what it is. I can't really verbalize it, but maybe they've gotten over this because these three singles are bangers.
Yep. I agree. It's one of those weird things where this and like, honestly, a lot of metalcore just becomes gym playlist for me and then go see the band whenever I can live. Cause they always put on a great show.
Yeah.
I think, they have finally kind of captured that though. And this energy is going to translate onto this record from their live performances. I think it's mixed really well, at least based on the singles we have. And I'm really excited to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I was one of the singles they have, like they have a part that stops and they say something like they yell like motherfucker. And I was like, I thought this band was like a Christian band. Usually Christian bands aren't yelling you motherfucker in a song, not a Christian band anymore. I didn't know that.
That'll happen.
They're not a Christian band. If that matters to anybody or doesn't, I don't personally really care, but I liked the motherfucker. It was a nice touch.
It was in good taste.
Yes, exactly. You know, I don't need a motherfucker in every song.
No.
But if I get a good motherfucker or two in an album, I'm cool with that.
Especially a more like hardcore record like this.
Oh yeah.
Perfect.
Oh no. I don't want Manchester Orchestra to put motherfucker in a song, but
I'm sure it would work. There would be a reason.
it would make me cry at the same time as yes, exactly. Oh man. All right. That's five. All right. Let's go to four.
Yeah. Number four. I got this record early. I got to listen to it. Got dropped off in my house.
Okay.
The new record, Silhouettes of Disgust by Germany's own Downfall of Gaia.
Oh, yeah.
This is such a cool project where, you know, I love that sound where we blend black metal and shoegaze together. And this record is just that, but a little bit more on the black metal side. It's very abrasive, but it's just vibey and good.
It's cool. It's cool. You know what I really like about this band? Mm-hmm. I love the punk elements.
Yeah,
like
it's almost crust punky. Yeah, at points.
They have these like just kind of like kind of a punk beat going on. It's like, but it works. It's like catchy, and it kind of like bridges the gap between the super black metal kind of like chaotic, super fast, like just noise, and then they're almost like ambient parts, and then they have these punk parts. It's really cool. And I it works, man. And you know, obviously you don't think of crust punk, influences and 5.5 minute songs, but here it is. And you know, and this Downfall of Guy, it's really, really interesting. It's not probably like anything you're going to hear, you know, very often.
At least this year.
No. I mean, of course we cover all kinds of weird shit. I wouldn't say this is weird though. Like this isn't like,
no,
we're not saying like, oh, you're going to hear this. It's going to blow your mind. Like you've never heard anything like this before. Mm-hmm. You've heard all these elements, but not put together in this way. And I really find it, it's kind of catchy, you know, I don't know. It's like, it grabs me and I really, really like this band.
Yep. I agree. I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
Really in line with kind of like Respire and Svalbard, right?
Totally.
Just
totally.
That post black metal that just, it has elements of a lot of different stuff and.
Totally.
I don't know. Black metal is a great genre. You can fit so much other crap into it and it just works.
It is. It's fun. I know. Right. It's fun. And I really do like that punk, you know, there's been some black metal artists that have put those kind of punk elements, like
even
Cradle of Filth or something has done that, you know, but I love the way that Downfall of Gaia does it.
Yep. For sure.
All right.
Getting even heavier. We have the second album in a short amount of time from Chelsea Grin.
Oh yeah.
This is Suffer in Heaven, the counterpart to Suffer in Hell. And I am going to be honest, I like these singles more than the ones that we got from the first record.
Yeah.
So I am keen to see how everything fits together.
Yeah. What the hell's going on with this band? Like,
I don't know.
How are you just shitting out gold right now? Like, I mean, I know that the Suffer in Hell was only 8 songs, right? Mm-hmm. So this is probably like
similar,
you know, it's almost like 2 EPs,
7-8.
Yeah. You know, like almost like Bill Murray, comparing Bill Murray to Chelsea Grin is hilarious also, but kind of like, at least in the format side. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. These are great. We only have 2 of them, but they're both bangers. And I'm kind of almost like happy to only have 2 because I've gotten a lot of Chelsea Grin lately.
Yeah, exactly.
So give me 2 singles and let me hear the rest. And kind of, I'm interested how they kind of coexist, you know, if there's some counterpart in here, if there's going to be some difference, or if we're just talking about, you know, 16 bangers overall.
Mm-hmm. I also got to say, second single, Fathomless Maw, is one of the most badass song names I've seen in a long time.
That's I do like that.
Coming in at number 2, Run From It, 100 Gex Comes All the Same.
Oh my God.
Their new record, 10,000 Gex. I love this band. This EP, Shane did not enjoy as much. But now we've got the full record. None of those songs from the EP. I have made him listen to the singles. Shane, what do we think?
So, okay. I respect 100 Gex immensely. I did not like their last EP at all. Mm-hmm. Like that, to me, that was like a that can go right in the recycle bin, straight up. Not that it sounds recycled. I mean, garbage. Just put it in the garbage. However, I will say, Me, Doritos and Fritos, and Hollywood Baby are all pretty fucking cool.
They're so fucking catchy, aren't they?
I like don't want to like it.
But you do.
I put it on and I was like, I hated their last EP. This band, this is weird. I don't like it. I really liked it. Doritos and Fritos has one of the coolest opening riffs. Mm-hmm. They just like they took like guitar sounds and I think they just put it together.
They did.
I don't know how they did it. It's so sick. they're doing so much interesting, cool stuff. They don't really seem to care.
Nope, not at all.
And that all just rules. Like, I'm totally into this. This is punk.
Yeah.
For me. Like, this is not punk, but this is punk, like, in terms of the attitude, what they're trying to do, the lack of giving a shit. And these three songs are fun. And I might listen to this first on Friday. This is, like, really quite exciting.
This is a band that I think does get a lot of flack. They are very, very divisive. But, like, I don't know. I didn't like this band at first with their last record. But then you've got songs that just get stuck in your head. And they're kind of involved in the scene. I mean, they had their deluxe edition of their last record that had features from Craig Owens and Patrick Stump, right?
Right, right.
Like, this band's been around. They grew up on our kind of music. You can feel the punk and at times almost even some like post-hardcore and metalcore on these. Definitely pop punk, right? Like, Doritos and Fritos, in my opinion, is just Zoomer ska.
Like, yeah, there's like a ska element to these. I totally heard that. Yeah, 100%. Like,
this band is just absolutely crazy. And it just works, man. It works. And
yep.
It's one of those things that I think a lot of like musical purists, right, don't like harp or hyperpop because it's just like, why is this working? And I don't know.
Yeah.
You just got to enjoy it.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed these three singles. Can't wait for the record.
I was not expecting this. I'm really glad you have been sold.
Yeah. I'm pretty sold on these, especially if it's going to be part of a whole record. But I don't know. It's weird, right? So I'm looking at their Spotify. And I know we're going on in this episode, everybody. I'm sorry. We're doing a lot of talking. But I'm looking at their Spotify.
Yep.
And what's interesting to me is like Doritos and Fritos came out in 2022.
Yep.
And Me came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released this EP with Hey Big Man and like, which Snake Eyes EP, which I didn't think was very good.
Yep.
And now they're putting out these other songs
on the record,
on a full length.
Yep.
So it's almost like the EP was just this, like, it's like almost like they released the deluxe songs first.
Yeah.
which is probably not a great move, but again, I don't think this band gives a shit. So good for them.
Yeah. Honestly, I think this band is just untouchable right now. I think they are literally about to blow up in such a way. They've got such a cult following. They're playing huge venues, like selling out Royal Oak Music Theater around here, even bigger other places in the country.
Yep.
Like, I know people who have literally made pilgrimages to Chicago to take pictures of like the tree that they originally took for the picture for the album art and like Photoshop the background in. Right. Like,
wild.
This band is a crazy following. It is so cool.
Wild.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm
into
it.
Listen to 100 Gex. If you don't like it, you're a boomer. Thanks.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the number one record of the week, OYERex.com. That's who this is all brought to you by. So check out OYERex.com for some great new music as well. And we're back.
We are.
We're back.
I'm excited.
Hopefully they checked out OYERex.com.
Hey, you know, we're going to beat the dead horse because I got some OYERex stuff to talk about later too.
Okay, let's do it up. But before, let's give me the number one. I know what it is. Right. I know what it is. I know what it is.
You know me. I think our listeners know me. I think everybody who even doesn't listen probably knows me and knows that the number one record this week is Heavener by Invent Anime.
Mm-hmm.
This band right up there with Era just breaks the mold that traditional metalcore has. They embrace prog. They know how to write fun, interesting song structures. They don't write any songs that are the same, right? Like Shade Astray, Elysium, Immolation of Night. And then even like the newest song that came out this week, like Without a Whisper might be my favorite Invent Animate song. And it sounds nothing like any of their other material.
Yeah, man.
This band's nuts.
It's really good. They constantly surprise me. I don't know. I don't know how they aren't running out of ideas. Because every song is like something you haven't heard before in a genre that a lot of times you have heard it before. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They really find an incredible way of kind of doing that and putting forth just that interesting stuff. You're right. Whether it's the ambient, like sort of vibe stuff they put in there, mm-hmm. whether it's just like a super catchy riff, like an absolutely insane chorus melody, like Shade Astray has,
yeah,
or whether it's just, you know, beating your ass, they find a way every single song, mm-hmm. and I feel like these guys don't sleep at night or something, or they're just because I think they're working way harder than everybody else to do this. It's just
for sure.
And this is number one for a reason. This is going to be the best record on our list. With the exception of M83, that thing is going to be insane too. Mm-hmm. And 100 Gex, who knows? But this is 100% worthy of a number one and a band that I feel like is just constantly underrated.
Yeah, I agree. They're just so good. Like there's a reason I variant collect this band. I just love them so much. I think their lyricism is just at the absolute top. It's so deep and personal. And
yeah,
like I have like a vendetta against cliche statements in metalcore, and this band just somehow avoids all of them, but still is able to make amazing metaphors and make really clear kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah,
band's great.
Yeah, and it doesn't suffer, like the songwriting or the catchiness doesn't suffer on account of that either.
Yep.
So no, it is pretty impressive. And yeah, this, hey, Invent Animate is a band that if you're not listening to, start with the new record and go back and love it. Love it all.
Yeah. I think this record's going to take my favorite. Still World is my favorite. That's their second release, mm-hmm. at least at the time of recording this. I still have to listen to Heaven, right? but no, I'm stoked. Like, I have my copy reserved at my local record store, so I'm going to be there when they open in the morning. I'm skipping out on work a little bit. Sorry, work, if you hear this. In order to go pick up my copy, because I want to listen to it on vinyl for the first time. I'm really stoked for this record. It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is a big week.
It is.
This is a big week. You know, I'm surprised. So this is going to be coming out on St. Patrick's Day. We don't have any Irish mm-hmm. flavor at all here.
Not really.
We don't have a new Flogging Molly record or a Dropkick Murphys album or...
Flogging Molly had an EP last week.
Oh, did they?
It was like one new song and then like a live song and okay. stuff like that.
All right. Well, that's close enough. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
No Irish blood here. So I don't know.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Because I've got some Irish blood in the honorable mentions.
All right. Well, you know what? On that note, let's get into our honorable mentions.
So we already talked about Theory of a Dead Man. But U2, new album.
Okay, there you go.
It's about You're welcome.
That's probably the biggest Irish band of all time. So,
yep.
yep. Cool.
Also got a Michigan band on here. Pop Evil's got a new album. They've always just kind of been okay for me. I don't know.
Catch them on the radio.
For sure. There's an all-time low album if you're into that. Mystic Circle, new record, really cool death metal band. And then we got some EPs. I don't know enough to talk about Fiddler.
Fiddler?
But I know you do.
Oh, I love...
Yeah.
Fiddler has an EP coming out?
Yeah.
Wow.
At least I think it's an EP. I can't tell if it's an EP or an album.
So...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure EP though.
So what you need to know about Fiddler is... Fiddler is an acronym for Fuck It Dog, Life's a Risk.
Sounds about right.
And yeah, and it does sound about right. That is kind of the band's whole thing. It does almost, it's like a mantra that almost just works with their music. Mm-hmm. You kind of never know what you're going to get with them. They've changed up a lot, but at its core, it's going to be kind of, it's punk and it's a little dirty and it's very nihilistic.
Yeah.
But I really like Fiddler and yeah, they're a band that... just constantly it puts out exciting stuff. I mean, I think probably going back to, you know, their early stuff, like 2012, 2015, those releases, those are the ones that have tend to kind of, you know, the ones that people talk about, but mm-hmm. some of their newest stuff has been really cool. So I'm excited for it. 100%.
For sure. We also just kind of had a packed week. So I know some people are going to come after me. Yes, there is a Bayside EP. The Blue EP.
Coming out.
We're going to talk about it now.
Yeah, fuck. I mean, the last one was really good.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, yeah. I mean, and these singles have been really good, too. Mm-hmm. The one featuring Spencer from Einstein Kills. It's good. So, yeah. Bayside, 100%.
Yeah. Bayside is doing what I think EPs are for experienced bands, where they are really playing with their sound, and I think having some fun.
Yep, exactly. No,
good for them.
Exactly, it is good. I think they're at their sounding the best they've sounded production wise.
For sure. Now to talk about the better side band, and by that I mean Broadside, in my opinion.
Oh,
new single featuring Brian Butcher from the Home Team. I'm very excited to hear this.
Broadside are a great band. I gotta say, I'm not gonna start picking favorites. They're both friends of mine.
I am.
I do think they're a little underrated, even though they do have 800,000 monthly listeners. But I think they're a really great band. Write great songs, and they're great live. And they don't always get like a ton of love. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think this is a great band. Richmond, Virginia, baby.
For sure. Absolutely awesome. And of course, the Home Team blowing up right now too.
Yeah.
The Home Team actually taking Broadside out on tour, which is wild to me.
That's right. They are. Yep.
That got upgraded. That reminds me, I got to get my tickets for that. Red Hook, new song featuring Michaela Delgado from yours truly. Very excited about this. Two of the coolest vocalists in the Australian pop punk scene right now. Going to be cool.
Yeah. I love it. Obviously Australia is just seemingly like for the last, I mean, I want to say like from the pandemic, I don't know what it is, just amazing music keeps coming out of Australia the last few years. So
the last ever.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but I just feel like there's so much more of it.
Yeah.
In the last few years. So I don't know. I think people were in their bedrooms.
Is there more of it, or are you just being exposed to more?
Could be that. I mean, there's some great Australian labels too that are getting their artists, you know, off the board, off the map, on the map.
For sure.
Putting their artists on the map. I can speak today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think they're all really, yeah, really, really good. So
happens.
That's right.
Frozen Soul. We're just gonna get the last feature out of the way. They're putting out a new single featuring Daniel Schmuck of Creeping Death.
Cool.
Absolutely awesome combo. I love both these death metal bands. So
sick. Sick.
New song from Pupil Slicer. Absolutely awesome. Chaotic mathcore, metalcore, deathcore, grindcore, whatever you want to call this band. They're everything in one.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's just the name for me, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It makes me like every fiber of my being kind of like hairs on my arm stand up. Hey, I don't know. It really bothers me.
Shane, we got past Hot Milk. We'll get past Pupil Slicer too.
I don't know. They're doing shows with Boris in Europe, we'll which is insane. So yes, if you're able to go see Boris and Pupil Slicer in Europe, yeah, fucking, I will be jealous.
Yep. We said Invent Animate doesn't sleep, but let's talk about a band that really doesn't sleep. Japan's own Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas already starting to pump out singles for another album, I think.
All right. Okay. Sure.
I love this band. They're wild.
Yeah, they're
just a good time.
There's not much else like them. That's for sure.
Another band announcing kind of an anticipated record. I don't have the date on it, but Heart Attack Man, new single this week.
Cool.
Album announcement. Pre-orders for that were Thursday. So if you missed it, sorry, but should be fun. Another band that doesn't sleep, Magnolia Park, putting out another new song.
Nice.
Really interested to see where this goes. This band just seems to be banger central lately.
Yep, I 100% agree.
You know, we've had the year of deathcore for a while, and I think we're starting to lean towards the year of hardcore.
I would love that.
New single from Jesus Piece.
Yeah.
Very excited. Going to be the third one off the upcoming record, as well as we've got a new single and album announcement from Incendiary.
Nice.
Super stoked on this.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good time.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, this Jesus Piece is doing... They've always been doing incredible things, but I think now it's just starting to, I don't know. People are starting to catch note of this band.
Yeah.
They're blowing up. And yeah, what was that tour I mentioned? It was like Scowl, Zulu, Jesus Piece.
Jesus Piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like Show Me the Bodies on this tour. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's go. That's
done.
Yeah. Done. This is, you're right. You're hardcore, baby. Let's go.
Yep. Kind of adjacent, oddly enough, but I always feel like Microwave should be a hardcore band, but they're not.
They're not.
They've got a new single coming out. New single from Psilosis. I'm pretty excited for that. A band rips. New song from Trophy Eyes.
Tight. Been waiting for that band to do with something else. It's been a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Savage Hands, new song. Pretty stoked on that.
Yeah.
As well as I think we're getting the third or fourth single off the new Barry Tomorrow record. That's coming out here in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited for that. This is a band that's starting to blow up. Open Your Ears Records time. You ready for that?
Oh, yes. Give it to me.
New single from The Burden.
Nice.
This band is a little bit different than a lot of Open Your Ears other bands. They're a little bit more on the post-hardcore side, I think.
Yeah, post-hardcore, even metalcore, maybe.
Yeah, even metalcore. I've heard the song, though. Absolute banger. Make sure you check it out.
Yeah. Great band from my country of Canada on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, check them out. The Burden.
So we just got done talking about Chelsea Grin and them releasing a double album. We have gotten a minute-long single, an announcement of the second album from The Acacia Strain.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got the short album, songs about 2-3 minutes, 20 minutes tops. The Acacia Strain's second album, and I'm looking for my email confirmation of the pre-order so I can know the name of it. So the first album's short one is Step Into the Light. The second one is Failure Will Follow. Failure Will Follow starts off with this minute long little teaser track, and then it has 2 20-minute songs or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm here for it. This is going to be sick. Acacia Strain doesn't miss, right?
They don't. Great guys. And yeah, this is going to be cool. I love when bands are experimenting and doing things like this, because you know they're putting their heart and soul into it. You know, this is mm-hmm. this is exciting. I really like this.
Yep, for sure.
Tight.
Wait, I lost my place in the list. New song from Waster.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I think they're announcing an album too. I don't know. Stoked.
Yeah. That's WSTR for people wondering.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of cool pop punk coming out this week. We've got a new song from Locket. I think they're a really underrated band. Make sure you check them out. As well as Keep Flying. Super awesome band. I don't really know if they're pop punk. They're kind of in that, like, I almost want to say like Midwest emo pop punk area, but it's also not, right? They're very unique. They're a cool band.
Not familiar with the band, so cannot comment.
I love them because they released an alt cover of their latest album that has them all as D&D characters, and they put out a 20-sided dice with their logo as the 20.
Okay.
And right. You know, that's 10 out of 10 for me. So
no, 100%. Oh wait, no, this is JJR's band. Yes. I'm looking at them on spot. Yes, I know. Yes, I do know this band. Yes, I do know them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Yes. I do know them. They have like, yeah, they have some ska elements, right? They're like,
yeah, a little bit.
They've got like horns and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Once in a while.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
New song from Good Terms.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. This band.
Great band. Heavily underrated.
Yeah. I think so too. That last record. Absolutely awesome. I forget the name of it, honestly.
Turning Point?
Good Times, something like that.
Yeah.
Turning Point, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yep, I got it on vinyl.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what comes next for those guys, though. We talked about the tour announcement. Atreyu's got an EP announcement, and the first single's coming this week.
Okay.
Super dope.
Yep.
We're getting the third single off of the upcoming Ongoing Concept record. Love this band so much.
You sure
do.
Very
happy they're back.
You sure do.
First single from the new Stellar Circuits, Hopefully record. They announced they got signed to a label, and I'm blanking on who it is at the moment, but Stellar Circuits is great. And before we get to that last one, I messaged you yesterday about a new Avenged Sevenfold single.
You did.
Did you get a chance to listen to it?
I didn't, but I got it pulled up right now.
Oh.
Is it called Nobody?
Yep.
I'm listening to it, Mike.
Ooh, I hear it.
Okay. I'm listening. We've got...
Do you hear the hi-hat?
I hear the hi-hat.
That goes for most of the song.
Interesting. It's... Oh.
It's like prog grunge. It's weird.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like a little bit Chris Cornell vibes on the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought Avenged Sevenfold has done some like pretty, I think they're a pretty good band. And I like that they've kind of, you know, marched to the beat of their own drummer. They've never really cared about what other people were doing at the time. They've never followed any trends. They've kind of done what they've wanted. This is an interesting first single though.
I agree.
Obviously, I'm just I'm just shuffling through it, but
yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a slower tempo. There's that hi-hat again. It's also almost 6 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. We'll see where the rest of the album goes, though. Song's interesting. It's
yeah, we've got a big guitar solo in there too. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, like a band that doesn't just shit out music every fucking year. So yeah,
they took 4 years to write this record. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. It is an interesting thing. If you're hearing that for the first time as an Avenged Sevenfold, I could see that being a polarizing song, to say the least.
Oh yeah, definitely. And last one, new single from The Devil Wears Prada, off of upcoming deluxe release.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Super stoked.
The last record was incredible. Mm-hmm. I think it was on our top 10 list, I think, or close. Yeah, Color Decay. So that should be really good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those weird things for me because I really think Cancer is the perfect closer to that record. And just adding more songs to the end of it feels weird to me.
Yeah, but that's like a problem you have with every deluxe record, you know? I mean,
incorrect. Being as an Oceans, Waiting for Morning to Come is made by the deluxe songs, in my opinion.
Yeah, but like, is that a flaw in their original design for the record, though?
No, because the record's perfect without them, and the record's even more perfect with them.
I mean, unless you're planning the record, like unless you've planned that out with a deluxe mm-hmm. record, that's one thing. But so much of the time, you know, you're adding deluxe songs, but then you're also adding like alternate versions of the songs. You're
yeah,
at,
and there's
you know,
like some acoustic songs yeah, and stuff like that.
That always happens, so. Or you get a live song at the end. Like you kind of almost just have to just do a hard reset in your brain when that comes, unless you've got the money to press like an additional record and then do like the deluxe songs on one record or something like that, which is a good move, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I like that move a lot more. That's the move. What In Heart's Wake and Asking Alexandria
did. Totally. I mean, a lot of times they do that just because they can't physically fit any more space on the record. But mm-hmm. But hey, we'll see. It's all good. I don't that's a very minor gripe to pick, I think.
Yep, for sure. Hold on. I'm getting a little bit of breaking news here.
Oh, well, we're doing it on Wednesday, so we can be expecting this.
Tour announcement for you Aussies. Thornhill, going out with Young Lions, Inertia, and Tapestry, some bands we've talked about on the show.
Nice.
Should be fun.
Nice. Very nice. Cool.
Well, Thornhill.
I think we did it.
Yeah, nailed it.
It's our longest episode in a while. We're over an hour.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it just happens.
It's a big week. It's a very big week. So thanks everybody for tuning in. And of course, we'll be coming at you next week talking about all these releases and all the new ones. So we'll see you mm-hmm. in a week's time.
For sure.
Okay. Bye everybody.